tuning into
It's a Trap!
All things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. And I am your host, DJ Stellar. Everyone today? That's a rhetorical question because you can't answer me. I am DJ Stellar. You are listening to It's a Trap on radio.dominican.edu. Man, oh man, I would have started right on time, but I really like that song that was playing, so we had to get to the end of that. Anyway, it is Tuesday, April 5th, and today in Star Wars history. Now, this is exciting. Get ready for this. Today in Star Wars history, The Force Awakens was released on Blu-ray and high-definition digital copies. So this is exciting because we're talking about Star Wars Episode 7 today. So I know you're probably thinking, DJ Stellar, how did you get them to release it on Blu-ray the day that you were talking about the episode on the radio? I don't know, guys. It's just my special pull that I have in the universe. You're welcome, world. So yes, as I said, we're talking about Star Wars Episode 7. And it's gonna be great. It's called The Force Awakens. It was obviously released in 2015. It had a $200 million budget, and it grossed around $935 million so far. That's just as of April, and April's young as of yet. So get ready. I'm sure it's gonna make a lot more. But I want to tell you that I have an exciting guest announcement at the end of this show. So guess that means you have to listen the whole time. Oh, too bad. So, as always, before we jump into the movie recap, I want to give you a couple starcabulary terms. Of course, we don't have a lot because you guys basically know all the terms at this point. You cultured Star Wars fans, you. The two terms that I have for you, though, are Jakku and Starkiller Base. And these, really, you shouldn't know if you haven't seen Star Wars Episode 7. But Jakku is a desert planet that seems relatively worthless to mostly every character in Star Wars. But as we will see, there are some important things that happen on this particular planet. So stay tuned. And the Starkiller Base is the primary base of the First Order. You know how we had the Death Star in all the other movies? The Starkiller Base is the equivalent to the Death Star. So everybody knows everybody. Okay, so now that we all know what that is, let's jump into the movie recap, shall we? So where we left off was the gang all celebrating about having destroyed the Death Star once again. And let's see, Darth Vader had died, and Luke was kind of having a little funeral for him. He cremated him and all that business. So now that we're all caught up, let's jump on in, shall we? Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. You're listening to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. So when we come into the movie, we find Luke has gone missing. What? That never happens. Luke never goes off on his own mission. Psych, he does that every time he's in a movie. So, not really surprised by this. It's about time, actually, he's gone missing, because he probably should have gone missing a long time ago. Anyway, the First Order has risen up from the Empire's ashes, and they are trying to find and kill Luke Skywalker because he's the last Jedi, and they think that the Jedi are scum. So, Princess Leia, who's now General Leia, sends the rebels on a search and rescue mission, and she sends her best pilot to Jakku, which you know what that is at this point. And Kylo Ren also leads an attack on a small village. Oh, you don't even know who Kylo Ren is. I'm so sorry. Kylo Ren is kind of the head of the First Order. He's a real scary, intimidating guy, and he's kind of molded his life after Darth Vader, so you can tell he's probably a little lousy on the inside. He leads this attack on a small village in Jakku, and Poe Dameron, is Leia's best pilot, and he's given a small bag with this map in it that is supposed to lead him to where Luke is. So Kylo finds Poe, however, and has the stormtroopers destroy this small village on Jakku. And Poe's X-Wing is damaged, so he can't escape. So he gives the map and the piece of the information about where Luke is to his little droid called BB-8. And BB-8's a really cute little droid, and we're going to talk about him later, so don't you worry. Anyway, then Poe is captured and because he can't escape from, what's his name? Kylo. The droid BB-8 runs into Rey, who is going to be our hero of the movie. And she's a human scavenger on Jakku. Then she rescues BB-8 from a scavenger and offers him shelter. And he's just a cute little robot, so how could she not offer him shelter? He's kind of like a little puppy, almost, is what he is. But he's not, because he's a droid. So then Kylo Ren uses the Force to find out what Poe did with the map. And then there's this whole kind of thing where Poe's captured, and Kylo's going to try to get the information out of him, but he can't because Poe's a boss, and so on and so forth. And then there's this other stormtrooper, and his number is FN2187, which, fun fact, is actually the cell block that Princess Leia was held in back in the very beginning of our trilogy. So that's a little nod to that. Anyway, this particular stormtrooper did not shoot anybody on Jakku, and if you're a stormtrooper, you're supposed to be shooting up everybody left and right, taking no prisoners, but he's too nice of a guy. Anyway, he gets called out by the head of his unit, and she's like, bro, you gotta kill people. It's part of the job description. And he's like, okay. And so she makes him take his blaster to an inspection room, because she's like, maybe his gun's just broken. You're right. It's not. He's just a nice guy. Anyway, at that point he runs away, and he needs a pilot to get off of the Starkiller base, so he rescues Poe, and they use the TIE fighter to escape. However, as they're leaving, they get hit by lasers, and what planet do they land on? Jakku. We're back at it again. Poe renames FN2187 to Finn, because FN2187 doesn't really sound like a good name for a person. Finn is ejected from the TIE fighter, but Poe goes down with the ship, and the only thing that's left behind of him is his totally awesome leather jacket. So Finn wanders off in the desert, taking off all of his stormtrooper armor, because it can't be too fun to walk in the heat of the day. And he comes to this outpost that Rey trades at on Jakku. So then he sees Rey being harassed by some trading henchmen. And why is she being harassed? Because of BB-8, the cute little dog droid who's not actually a dog. BB-8 then sees Finn wearing Poe's jacket, and he assumes that Finn stole it from Finn. No, Finn stole it from Poe. There we are. And Rey then tackles him, and Finn explains that he left the First Order, that Poe's dead, BB-8's sad, and all this great stuff. But then Rey gets all excited because she thinks that Finn is a part of the Resistance, and she's a babe, so obviously Finn lies and is like, yeah, I totally am part of the Resistance. And then Finn tells Rey that BB-8 has a map to Skywalker, and she's shocked at that point because she thought that Luke Skywalker was just a myth, but he's not. So there you go. So then back with the First Order, the stormtroopers show up looking for, on Jakku of course, looking for Rey and Finn and BB-8. And then, what's their names? The gang, they all steal a garbage vehicle, as Rey fondly calls it, which is actually the Millennium Falcon. And they all escape on that, but they barely get away. And Rey immediately has to repair it because it's been out of service for so long. And at this point, Finn goes to BB-8 and tells him that he's not actually part of the Resistance. So now BB-8 is in on the little secret, and he's like, dude, you can't tell Rey because she's a babe, and if she knows, then she won't like me anymore. Anyway, the Falcon is then captured by a larger ship and boarded by none other than Han Solo and Chewbacca. So Han, that's when Rey and Finn come out, and they all have like a cute little interaction. Of course, they don't really all know who each other is, but they'll find out eventually. But Han then tries to talk his way out of some more debts, and that's when the iconic, I've got a bad feeling about this line, comes out in this movie. Then they all escape on the Millennium Falcon again, and they head to another planet to talk to a certain owner of this cantina, and because she has all this information about Luke Skywalker and all these things. But they are spotted by First Order spies. And so Rey goes downstairs, and she finds the lightsaber that was used by Luke, and she sees this really creepy vision that freaks her out. The First Order destroys four planets because they mad, and they can do it because of their Starkiller base. Then Rey, like I said, she freaks out about the vision, and she decides she doesn't want the lightsaber. Kylo Ren brings troops to this new planet that they're on, and he starts this battle, and he captures Han, Chewie, and Finn together. Then BB-8 and Rey are running into the forest, and they're being chased by Kylo, but Kylo reads Rey's mind that she's already seen the map and the plans, so he's like, I don't even need BB-8 anymore, I'll just take the chick. So he knocks her out, and he takes her back to the Starkiller base. Then Han and Leia are reunited, and they reveal that Kylo Ren is their son. So that's interesting. At that point, they return to the Resistance base, so the Rebel base, and they find out that Poe's not dead, and they see R2-D2 and C-3PO, but R2-D2 has been shut down since Luke left, and he hasn't been able to come back to life, so that's a bummer. That's when the Rebels all decide to attack the Starkiller base and rescue Rey and also try to bring Kylo Ren home. That will be a little more difficult than they're planning, but that's okay. Rey is all this time being interrogated by Kylo Ren, and he uses the Force to see that she's all lonely and close to Han and all these things. But he cannot figure out where the map is from her mind because she's using the Force to tell him that he will never be as strong as Darth Vader. So her Force mind tricks are stronger than his. Got him. She realizes at that point that she has the Force, and after Kylo Ren leaves, she uses a mind trick to have the stormtrooper release her. And at that point, Han and Chewie land in some snowy forest to get the shields down from the Starkiller base so it can be attacked once again. Then Han, Chewie, and Finn decide to go save Rey, and they find her scaling her way down a wall of the base. So she didn't really need them to come, but, you know, a little extra help never hurt anybody. Then Poe and his gang of X-Wing fighters try to fire on the Starkiller, but they don't have enough power, so Chewie and Han plant bombs all around the inside of the base, and this is when Han sees Kylo, and they approach each other, and he has this kind of just really sad talk with him. He's like, son, you're not even this bad of a person. You don't even suck. And he's like, you're right, Dad. Oh, and he calls him Ben, too. Han calls Kylo Ben, because that's his real name. And Han then asks Kylo Ren to return with him, and Kylo's, like, pretending that he will, and then he pushes Han off the catwalk and kills him. So that's dope. After that, Chewie freaks out, obviously, because Han's his best friend ever, and he shoots Kylo in the side and then sets off all the explosives that they had planted inside of the base. After that, Finn and Rey run into the snowy forest, followed by Kylo Ren, and Rey immediately gets knocked out, so that's really cool. And Finn is then fighting with Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, and he gets knocked out, or he gets knocked to the ground, and Kylo's about to kill him, but then Rey gets waked up by all of his screaming, and she uses the Force to get Luke's lightsaber. And at first, Kylo's really dominating the whole battle, but then she gets mad or something. I don't even know. She just attacks him stronger than before and gains the upper hand. At that point, she extinguishes Ren's lightsaber and cuts him across the face. So that sucks. That might leave a good scar. After that, Poe and the X-Wings destroy the rest of the base. Chewie picks up Rey and Finn. And obviously Kylo Ren is left on the snowy planet. Leia and Rey hug in sadness because Han is dead, and that's a real bummer. And after that, R2-D2 comes back to life and shows the rest of the map that's needed to find Luke. And Finn is still unconscious. Let's see, Rey and Chewbacca leave in the Falcon to this rocky island, and they find Luke Skywalker. And Rey and Luke don't say anything to each other, but she hands him his lightsaber, and that just keeps with the silent last scene that Star Wars is known to do throughout all of their movies. So congratulations, we made it to the end. When we get back, we will be talking more Star Wars Episode 7. You're listening to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu.
When the sky's
Hello, friends. Welcome back to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars. I am your host, DJ Stellar, on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much for tuning in today. That's really swell of you. Now, listen, we've got a super special guest with us today. Her name is Sammy, and she is my roommate, and she's here to talk some Star Wars with us. Sammy, how the heck are ya?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for asking.
Of course.
So, Sammy is a Star Wars hater, but it's fine.
Just a little.
I talk about Star Wars incessantly, and I have Star Wars clothing and Star Wars playing cards and all kinds of Star Wars things, and I get some hate from Sammy from it about
she
it.
She also has Jell-O molds.
I do have Jell-O molds.
Who has those?
I do have them. So I don't really know what's wrong with that, but that's okay. And anyway, Sammy's here because she saw Star Wars Episode 7. And before I ask her some questions about that, why don't you introduce yourself to our friends here?
All right. Well, I am a psychology major. I am a sophomore. I am currently 20 years old. 5'4".
My favorite color and hobbies include sleeping.
Long walks on the beach.
Good.
I also am on the women's soccer team. I'm a defender most of the time. You know, it's a good time. Hallie's also on the team with us.
It's true.
So we spend a lot of time together.
Yes, we are always together, so that's great. So, okay, let's talk some Star Wars for a second, shall we?
Let's.
What made you want to go see Star Wars Episode 7? You can say it's because of my influence if you want.
It definitely wasn't because of that.
Okay, thank you. I just, you know, thought I'd throw it out there.
No, that would just fuel your ego a little bit. So, I think the main reason was I had to go see it in the theaters. It's definitely like a theater movie to really get all of it.
Right.
Just, you know, all the...
The glory?
The
glory. Is that the word you're looking for?
I guess that could
because
be it.
Because it is definitely glorious.
I actually did really enjoy it.
That, thank God.
Yeah, it was like an option to go see Star Wars or some dumb chick flick, so... We went with that one.
Yeah, who did you go to see it with?
Saw it with my friend Mitchell, and he's been seeing all the Star Wars with his family since he was little, so I decided, like, let's just go for it.
At least you were with a fellow Star Wars lover.
Yes,
that's
I was.
Good. Not a hater.
Yes.
Like yourself.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious about why you haven't wanted to watch any of the other episodes. Is that a personal decision, or you just hate cool things, or what's happening here?
Well, maybe you should define cool for me real quick.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So I would have to say I didn't see it because I guess it wasn't like a big thing in my family. Like no one really watched it. Apparently my dad said he watched them, but I don't believe that because I never saw that happen.
Bandwagoner.
Yeah. So it just was like never really prevalent in the family. We never really, you know, was like, oh, let's go watch Star Wars. No, that was just never a thing. We just watched something else.
At least you're bridging new territory for yourself, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Keep it up. Yeah. Who would you say your favorite character from The Force Awakens is? Do you have a favorite character?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Rey. She's as you said, she's a babe. She did
10 out of 10.
She did a great job. I definitely like felt the emotion with her during it.
Yeah.
You know, she kept me on my toes, and like since she was new, that was pretty interesting. So I didn't have like, you know, I didn't like lose.
You don't know anything about her.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody didn't. So that was a big plus.
Did you feel that watching, that like, because this was your first movie that you've seen of Star Wars, did you feel lost at all, or were you able to follow it for the most part?
I actually was able to follow it for the most part. If I just had questions, I just asked my friend, but pretty much I was pretty able to, like, get the concept of what's going on.
Good. Also, have you stalked Daisy Ridley, who played Rey on Instagram?
I have not on her Instagram.
Okay, well, you should do that, because she's a babe, and... I've done that a few times, I'm going to be honest with you.
So. I'm not shocked.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to know who you would probably date from this movie. Your three options are Han Solo, the scoundrel babe, Finn, our stormtrooper rebel, or Kylo Ren, the evil babe. I don't really have anything for him.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you who I wouldn't date first.
Okay.
So definitely not Kylo.
Okay, why is that? You got like anger problems?
No, I just did not think he was attractive.
Hmm.
I just didn't see
really?
It. Really?
I think Kylo Ren is so attractive.
I don't.
Like, 10 out of 10.
You know, I think it's the long hair. I like a clean cut.
You're right.
And he just did not do it for me, and his face is kind of
I think he's
weird.
And I think he's really cool with the mask on. When he takes the mask off, I think it's a little less intimidating, obviously, because
yes.
He kind of looks like a mouse, but like a really attractive mouse at the same time.
He's kind of scrawny, too.
Okay. All right. So, not Kylo Ren is basically what you're saying.
And then also, I would not date Finn.
Okay.
Because he just seemed too weak.
Yeah. He was funny, though.
Yeah, like, he had a good sense of humor, but, like, I need someone who's going to take charge.
So you're going for the older man.
I love him.
Good.
He's been great in all films, especially in the Star Wars one that I watched.
Yeah.
And he's just a babe, and he's got classic lines, like, he takes charge, he knows what he's doing. What more could I want?
Nothing. You and Leia both.
Yeah.
Well, that
she's got some competition. Step aside.
It's a strong choice, I'll be honest with you.
Thank you.
I think he would have been my second, but there's something about the evil people that I just really, I don't know, I'm really into it. So
that says a lot about
red flags. Okay. Uh-oh. All right. So, like you said, your dad has watched Star Wars, he claims.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else, do you know of anybody else, sisters, brothers, cousins?
Yeah, my sister and my brother have definitely watched it, but, like, no one's a big fan.
Nobody's, you know, like, that into it.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they just watch it because it's what's happening. But yeah, my dad was like, yeah, I watched all of them. Like, I know what's going on. When, Dad? When did this happen?
You're a compulsive liar.
I've been with you my whole life, and I've never seen this happen.
So that's on you.
Unless you got a secret life that I'm not aware of.
Or you just sit in a cave and watch Star Wars.
Yeah, where's your man cave? Where are you hiding?
I think I'm going to have a man cave when I grow up of only Star Wars things.
I would not be shocked by that.
Yeah, I have this really dope poster in my room at home. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I think I have.
It's on the wall now, but it's Darth Maul, and it's just super cool. So, yeah, that'll probably be my man cave situation. Final question for you. Would you ever consider watching any other Star Wars movies?
Yes, I would.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Wow, what a blessing. I was actually not really expecting a yes. You don't have to lie just because we're on the radio.
No, I'm being honest. I thought it was really good. I really liked all the graphics, all, like, just the character, the plot. The whole thing was actually really cool, and I kind of bummed out that I haven't watched the rest of them.
Yeah, me too.
Bit. I think I should probably get on that.
Probably.
But, you know, very busy schedule.
Oh, she's a busy girl.
But maybe during the summer, definitely catch up on those.
Oh, my gosh, you totally could.
Yeah.
Please do that, because then we can totally talk about it together. Actually, I had ACL surgery last year. And Sammy bought me a Star Wars shirt.
I caved.
To make me feel better. And I'll be honest, it made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
You know, I just thought it was the right thing to do. You really felt it.
Yeah.
It really went against my will, but I had to do what I had to do.
It was against my morals, but had to take one for the team on that one. All right, any final thoughts about Star Wars Episode 7? Favorite scenes? Do you have a favorite scene?
I'm trying to think. You know,
How about a favorite droid? There's, like, C-3PO, who's the gold one.
Yeah.
There's R2-D2.
R2-D2, for sure. He's so cute. Like, I just want to snug with him. But he's not a snuggable thing.
Yeah,
so.
He's metal.
Yeah.
First of all. Now, do you remember, I think her name was Captain Phasma? I'm actually not sure what her name is.
Okay.
But she's all silver, and she looks like a stormtrooper. I just learned this fun fact about her, but her armor is actually made from I'm not talking to you because you're not going to know what this is about.
Okay.
But this is to you people out there in the universe. Her armor is made from Padme's Star Cruiser that she used on Naboo with all that reflected material. That's what her armor is made out of. So she's using somebody else's ship to protect herself. I don't know. That's dopamines.
Recycling.
Reuse, reduce, renew. Keeping it green.
That's nice.
I like that. That's really a strong thing from her. Do you have a favorite scene from the movie? Do you like the fighting scenes? Is that what you
Yeah, that was really good. That was really interesting.
Really love that.
I think my favorite part was when Rey and the bad guy, Kylo, were fighting and dueling it out, and then she came up with all these powers that she had no idea were there.
She kicked booty.
And she just won and dominated, and it was just like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, she has all this power. She didn't even know about it. Maybe you have the Force, Sammy, and you don't even know about it.
Probably.
Honestly, you're probably Force sensitive. All right, well, thank you so much for coming and talking about Star Wars today, even though you hate it.
Yeah, of course.
Really appreciate that. And when we come back, we're going to talk more things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned.
Shh. sundown yellow moon. I replay the past, and I know every scene by heart, but they all went by so fast. If she's passing back this way, she can look me up if she's got the time. Of dancing on a pot of gold flake paint. Oh, it's so very precious, you and I. And everything that you do makes me wanna die. Oh, I just told the biggest lie. Just told the biggest lie.
Welcome back to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I am still your host, DJ Seller, and you are listening to a totally cool song from Star Wars Episode 1. the epic battle scene between Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's my favorite movie, so that's why we're listening to it. We still have Sammy here with us because she's going to add some commentary as necessary.
I'll do what I can.
Oh, good. Thank God. So, I want to go into a little background of some characters, if you don't mind. Because there's some influential characters in this movie, and I feel like they need to be talked about. So, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about them. Darth Maul needs to relax a little bit. Thank you very much. So, the first character, obviously, that we're going to talk about is Rey. Woo. And as Sammy stated, she is just so influential in this movie. And she's pretty well developed throughout the whole thing. She kind of takes on three character roles, being like the Luke almost, the Han, and the damsel in distress. So she's kind of got it all going on. She doesn't really need any help, but then she does at some points, and then she's also got the Force. So it's like kind of a weird dynamic of she runs the world. She's basically Beyonce, if we're being honest with ourselves. So. Well, she lives on Jakku, as I've said, about a billion times. And how did she get there, you may ask? Nobody really knows. We just know that her parents have abandoned her. And what I think, and what a few other people think, is that she is Luke Skywalker's long-lost child. But it's plausible that she could be somebody else's. But I don't know, I'm really feeling that she's Luke's kid. So that's about all that I have to say about that. But anyway, she got left on Jakku, and she's kind of had to fend for herself as a scavenger. She actually made a home for herself in the feet of some AT-AT walkers. So when she first found this kind of broken down walker on her planet, she was like, I cannot live in that. But she found this tiny green plant in it, and she said, if that flower could grow in there, so could I. So that's a beautiful story for you. When she was 10, she found this flight helmet that used to belong to some other Rey of a starfighter squadron, and she found this helmet while she was scavenging around in a starship graveyard, and so she would pretend that she was Rey, and I think this is actually where she got her name from, and she made a doll out of the flight uniform that she found, and she would make up stories about how this Captain Rey kind of lived her life, and she kept the helmet forever. And I think that you even see it at one point in the movie, but that's just a little piece of her history. And yes, once she found her home in the AT-AT Walker Foot, she salvaged the working parts from it, and that's when she realized that she should be a scavenger. So at that point, she took parts that she found from starships that had been in battles or people that had gotten lost in the desert and died, and she would take those parts and sell them for food. So we see a couple times in the movie she gets just not a good deal for all the parts that she's bringing in, and ultimately that is why the henchmen of her trading boss man, they're chasing her down because they want BB-8 for parts, and she promised that she would protect BB-8 and didn't want anybody to take him apart. So that's ultimately how they became friends. And can you be friends with a droid? Sure.
I have a question.
Yeah, hit me with it.
Did you get this all from the movie? Like,
Most of the things, yeah, I did get from the movie.
Wow.
There's a lot of information, obviously, on the interwebs. And sometimes I look up fan theories to kind of see if I'm on the right track. But yeah, pretty much everything we just get from the movies.
Yeah, because like everything you said totally makes sense, but I did not pick up on any of that during the whole time.
Maybe you should have watched the other ones.
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know. I just don't have that Star Wars mind, I guess.
Well, we'll get there, Sammy. Don't worry. We'll
I
get
hope
there.
So, because, wow, I was like right over.
Right over my head.
Well, you know. But now, clarity.
Now you can watch it again and be shocked.
Yes, and understand more.
Blessings. All right, next character is Finn. Obviously, Finn's a cool dude. He was trained as one of the best troopers in the Galactic Empire. And I feel like this is kind of a recurring theme. You know, Han Solo's the best pilot. Anakin was the best Jedi until he turned evil. And so, obviously, Star Wars has some kind of obsession with people being the best at whatever they do. And that's great. So, Finn was trained as one of the best. He was known for his ability to shoot from far away. He's very good at it. And he could fight like none other. And Sammy just took a really bad Snapchat.
So I'm sorry about thank that. You for that. Distracting her a little bit from our amazing character, Finn.
Finn, what a guy. So anyway, yeah, as a stormtrooper, he always scored top marks when he was training. And so this is kind of why when the general calls him out about not killing people, it's kind of a shock to all of them because he's been such a good stormtrooper this whole time. And all of a sudden, he just decides that he can't be evil anymore, apparently. So he could wield a lightsaber in combat, as we see in the one of the final scenes. And he can obviously fight with other weapons. That's basically what he was trained for, was to be in hand-to-hand combat with other enemies. But he ends up being more of a gun user, I guess. What do you call that? A gun user?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
A soldier? I have no idea.
Soldier?
Soldier.
So a man who can take action.
Nice. Good words, dude. So, he's a talented guy, and he has a real... I think that he brings a real human element to stormtroopers, kind of saying that, like, they're not all the same, and they're not all just hardened killers. He has a lot of empathy in his heart, and obviously just doesn't want to just go around killing everybody.
So he was taken from his family, right, when he was little?
Yes, Finn was also taken from his family. And I think that that's kind of a recurring theme also with the stormtroopers, if they weren't, like, born and raised into it by, you know, generals that married, then, yeah, they were taken from their families.
Oh, I see, because then they have, like, no recollection.
Exactly, they take them when they're young, and they have no other, they don't know any other way.
Yeah.
They're just raised in evil. So, yeah, that's Finn. And finally, BB-8. What a guy. What a little droid.
So cute.
So cute. So if you haven't seen the movie, you should have seen it by now. But if you haven't, BB-8 is like a little circle with a little other circle on top.
Snowman, if you would.
A snowman. Yeah, he totally looks like a snowman. Yeah. I've actually seen a couple speakers that look like BB-8. So
that's cute.
That's really cute also.
He's also kind of looks like you could snug him too, but
BB-8 does look
just
snuggable.
Just like put him in your arm a little bit.
Yeah, you know, just hold him.
Go to night. He could just, like, just you know, beep at you a little bit.
Just beep BB-8 at you.
Yeah.
Got him. So actually, fun fact, the name BB-8 came just from looking at the shape of him. He kind of looks like a capital B and an 8. So they said, hey, BB-8.
I see it.
Yep, there it is. So, yes, he has a dome head, obviously, and he is actually what R2-D2 was originally drawn to look like. Oh. So, yeah, in the first few movies, they drew this thing up, and they were like, R2-D2's going to be this, and then they decided on another... R2-D2 looks like a trash can now, I think, but that's
how
okay.
How dare you.
I'm sorry. Upside down.
He is a very nice man.
Droid man.
Robot.
Guy.
Dude.
Good. So, anyway, BB-8, the bulk of his body is made up of the ball, like I said, and that's where he keeps all of his memory and obviously the map of where Luke was at, and all of his important information is stored not in his brain but in his ball body. So he is he's really skittish. Honestly, he's a really skittish droid, but very loyal, as we see with Poe, and he kind of just sticks to his job and does what he's supposed to do, and he. Apparently, Poe was confused by BB-8's kind of personality, because sometimes he's childish and other times he's precocious and wild, and you don't really know what to expect from him. But other droids have typically just had one kind of personality, like C-3PO. You can always count on him to just get the job done and be very practical about everything. R2-D2, same way, he'll get it done. But yeah, BB-8 kind of does whatever he wants, so that's just an interesting little personality trait about him.
Do you know what I really like about the robots
what
in
do you
Star
like about
Wars?
Them?
Is that they're kind of like the dog in the movie, because, like, if one of them were to die, I would be very upset, like, I would cry.
That's so true.
They
that's
have,
such a good
they,
point.
They give them that, like, sensitivity, that, like, sweetness about them that you just, like...
It's like a human...
Yeah. You don't want to see
them maybe go. Not even human, because a lot of humans die in these movies, and we're like, eh.
Yeah, but no, it's like a dog. You don't want to see the dog die.
You don't want to see the robots die.
Like, you're so right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Wow. Good thing you're still here.
Hey.
We would have missed out on that gem.
Thank you.
Speaking of gems, I have found a few start effects that you might be interested in collecting if you are a diehard, like some of us.
Blessings.
Sammy, look what I found for you.
Oh, no.
This is a Kylo Ren.
Oh, man.
Not uniform. Costume. And it is...
Wow. Is that life size?
All the things. It is life size.
We could wear that.
Yeah. Halloween, wow. Baby. I don't know. Next party? What? Okay.
Maybe.
So this is, it's got the mask. It's got like a neck piece. It's got a belt. It's got the whole thing. If you look at a picture of Kylo Ren, you're looking at a picture of the costume, basically, is where we're at.
It looks pretty legit.
The only thing, actually, this is great because it's discounted. It was,
get out of here.
It was $3,100.
Oh, wow. What a
now,
steal.
Now, let me tell you what it is now. $2,600.
Whoa.
So, guess what? Just save up a little bit. Just pick up a few more hours.
Just get some, you know, get in debt. Get a credit card, maybe.
This would be worth it. Honestly, if you're looking for something to build your credit on, this is what you want to build it
this
on.
This is it.
So, yeah, get on that if you're a Kylo Ren fan. Unfortunately, you probably won't look as good as him when you take the mask off.
You'll look better.
Not true, but you'll have the dope costume. So, that's my first one for you. The next one that I have is a Chewie Furby pet.
Ooh.
And Furbies, ladies, we're bringing them back. He's got the cute little, what is this called? What am I doing right now?
Satchel.
Sash.
Sash.
We're going to call it a sash. I know it's not that. But it holds, you know, the whole thing that holds all of his ammo. He's got that on. He looks like Chewie. And a steal of only $40.
Wow.
It's a collector's item. So, of course, it has to be a little more pricey than your average Furby. But, man.
Just think about how much it will be in 10 years.
Yeah.
For people like Hallie who will buy it.
I will buy it. And I don't need that judgment in your voice. I could hear that. Ooh. So, yeah, the Furby and the Kylo Ren costume. But to go along with that, we have some figurines that were actually used on set as little... you know when they make the little molds or the smaller size sets so that they can kind of scope it out, see how it'll look?
Yes.
These guys were used on the set and...
The real deal.
$20. They're going for $20.
Wow. That, is that for all of them?
No, it's for one.
Oh, but that's where they get ya.
That's the one. But still, $20 for one? That seems outrageous to me, if you ask me.
I mean, like, Chewbacca could have actually touched his own figurine.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
That just raises the value.
That
right there.
Did raise the value. Okay, so I have a few more things that I want to say to you before our time is up. So, first of all, I'm usually supposed to do arguing against the Empire at this point in the show. However, there were just a lot of things that I agreed with this week. So, today I'm arguing with the Empire. And I will not be disproving anything. I will just be agreeing with the things that they say. So
can you do that? Is that allowed?
Yeah, of course. It's my show. I can do whatever I want.
Okay, just to clarify. Okay,
thank you. So the first thing is this movie is very repetitive. It's very similar to the other movies that we've seen. There's, you know, a Starkiller base that's very similar to the Death Star. There's one Force-sensitive being. There's a cute and determined droid that's dropped in a desert with one job to do. It's all just very similar, and we get it that J.J. Abrams is new to Star Wars and that he has to kind of prove himself and establish his credibility in the Star Wars realm, and that's fine. But if you were looking for a new Star Wars movie from what we've already seen, this is not where you're going to find it. I obviously loved the movie. I have no qualms with it. I think it's a great film. But I am a little bit confused by how exactly the same it was to pretty much every other movie. So it's actually like an exact replica to A New Hope. So that was a big thing that I found this week when I was looking for things to argue against. And, you know, I just don't feel like I should argue against that. So I agree with you, people of the world. It was a little too repetitive. I think that if the next movie is as repetitive or as similar as this one was, then we're going to have some real problems. But I think that in order for Abrams to kind of get into the idea of Star Wars, I think it was fair that he kind of made it
along the same lines. So that's the first thing. The next one, I can defend a little bit. I can defend half of it. So Rey immediately picks up the Force and obviously her lightsaber wielding when she's never been around either of these things before. The only thing that I can say about the lightsaber is that she has lived alone for most of her life, so she's studied different kinds of combat. And so the lightsaber thing kind of makes sense to me that she would know how to use it, just because if you don't have anything else to do, I mean, you might as well learn how to protect yourself with the coolest weapon.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's what Sammy actually does do, so.
Okay, thank you. You're for giving my secrets.
Sorry. But the Force is a little iffy for me because I feel like, yeah, if you didn't have any idea what it even was, and then you're just shocked by all the power that it has, I think that that's a little sketchy. I don't really know how she figured out how to use that so fast. So I don't really know what to say about that. But
it was
innate. It was just in her. It was her inner being coming out.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
The genes and the blood.
She did have good genes.
She just knew.
You're right. I mean, that's plausible. But, yeah, she really just comes out.
Good genes all around.
Everybody's got good genes in this movie.
Dang it.
So.
Good I should be you. In this movie.
I have good genes, too. Okay. My final...
okay. American Eagle.
Please stop. My final argument that I'm agreeing with is... Oh, what a fun song. Kylo Ren is wildly underdeveloped. I think that he ends up being just like a whiny, bad attitude little kid. He throws temper tantrums. He, when he doesn't get his way, he's mad about it. He can't even hold on to Rey when he's trying to interrogate her. He can't crack her feeble mind using the Force for the first time. So I just think that he's kind of a weird character to throw in there, and hopefully he gets a little more explanation in the next film. But yeah, I just am a little confused by him as a character. I think he's a babe, like Adam Driver, 10 out of possible 10. But, I mean, we'll get there when we get there, I guess, right?
Right.
Right, thank you.
He just needs some time.
He needs some time to develop.
Yeah.
So that concludes my arguing with the Empire, not against them. Thanks, Empire, for being here. Finally, if you watched the movie, you will have noticed that C-3PO has a red arm. C-3PO does not have a big part in this movie like he's had in the other ones. Kind of a bummer for 3PO fans, but that's all right. He's still there. So yes, he looks a little different, and really the only reference that's made to the red arm in the movie is when he says something about Han Solo, I wonder if Han will recognize me or something like that. And of course he's going to recognize C-3PO because everything else is the same about him, and he's still annoying.
He's still very gold.
Yeah, he's still shiny gold. So, yes, the red arm I was kind of confused by, but it turns out that because, obviously, droids cannot wrinkle or grow gray hair, they do actually get older. So in that notion... 3PO's arm was lost somewhere in battle because his, I don't want to say joints because he's not a human, but his connector piece on his shoulder just grew weak, and so another droid had to sacrifice his red arm.
So did it, like, rust off kind
of
thing?
Yeah, it, like, just broke off, I guess.
Oh.
And if you've seen the other movies, at Sammy Clausen.
Thank you.
He kind of breaks down in a lot of them, and he's torn apart and kind of put back together a bunch, so... It's just old age, you know? Old age of C-3PO that really just was his demise.
It gets the best of us.
It gets us all every time.
Everybody.
Hey, this is a funny little thing. I want to tell you this. Carrie Fisher, who played Leia.
Yes.
And Ellen DeGeneres. They dressed up as Princess Leia. And they handed out tickets to the premiere by standing on the side of the road. And
wow.
Waving people over to them.
That is awesome.
I would have definitely stopped for that. Even if it was just an impersonator, I probably
would have stopped.
I
love Ellen.
Yeah, I think that would have been the funniest thing.
What a great picture. Instagram. Lots Insta of likes.
That. Hashtag I met Leia and Ellen. Blessings.
Boom.
So, yeah, that was just a funny little thing that I found. Also, the man that... played Finn, John Boyega. He was so nervous about not getting the part that he actually didn't even tell his family that he got it until the cast photo came out and Disney actually, like, put it up on their Twitter account.
Yeah, my grandma told me that, actually.
But did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable.
He's, like, on E! News or something.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. He's just a humble little guy.
That is really sweet.
So, yeah, well, that concludes our episode 7, Star Wars The Force Awakens. You have been listening. Oh, thank you, Sammy, for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Of course. It was just wonderful having your knowledge.
It was very enlightening for
good.
Me.
I'm so glad. You've been listening to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. Now, like I said at the beginning of this show, I have a special announcement for my next guest. And I want you to know that next week, next Tuesday, right here at Dominican University of California, I will be having Ben Burt, who made the sounds of the lightsaber, R2-D2, some of the blasters. He was the principal sound man for the film. He will be here, and we're going to be interviewing him, talking to him, hanging out for a little bit. So tune in next week, folks, because he's a great guy, and he is ready to answer questions and talk about his time on the film, and we are excited to have him. So thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week. This has been DJ Stellar. Have a stellar day, friends.
This has been It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. It's Totes Def, the coolest Star Wars radio show in the entire galaxy.
I mean, come on, it's probably not the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy, but I'll take it.
I'm certain it's the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy.
All right, thank you. So who even is this guy? What's that? Who is this?
I am the Father.
The only true rebel since the beginning, still in musical prison and jail for the flow. Try telling Bob Dylan, Bruce, or Billy Joe they can't sing what's in their soul. So entitled it is, I never changed nothing. But people remember this, if Nas can't say it, think about these talented kids with new ideas being told. But they can and can't spit, I can't sit and watch it. I'ma drop it, like it or not. You ain't gotta cop it, I'm a hustler in the studio. Cups of Don Julio, no matter what the CD call. I'm unbeatable, y'all. Let's